coming up on podcast 1361. It's true. It's finally happening. More Tesla superchargers being opened up in France and Norway. I've got the details. Also on the show today, Jaguar Land Rover unveiling their new EV platform, the Skoda Enyaq Coupe IV, and NIO rolling out its ET5, the next sedan from them. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Tuesday, 1st of Feb, 1st of the month. Here's what happened today. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. And thank you so much to a new Patreon supporter, always really special, when a new partner comes on board, and that is you, Recurrent. The team at Recurrent, from the co-founders, Scott and Kyle, and through to the rest of the team as well, they're on a mission to accelerate the adoption of EVs. Now, at the minute, the health of an EV battery is a black box, but Recurrent is working to change that by collaborating with literally thousands of EV drivers and introducing advanced machine learning. Battery reports for electric cars. You can find out more at recurrentauto.com. And I'm delighted to work with them, hopefully more this year, because what they're doing is so crucial in the next stage of EV adoption, if you like, as people want to understand what's the bones of this car. What's the battery like? Well, Recurrent can tell you. A couple of things I found on Twitter, found interesting. National Car Charging, yep, another sponsor of this podcast and a premium partner of the show, tweeted out, "We are excited to announce that the US's highest altitude DC fast charger is now live. You can charge up at Leadville or Leadville, Colorado. It is 10,152 feet high above sea level." Fantastic there. So if you want to go charge your car at the country's highest altitude DC fast charger, head to Colorado. And a tweet I saw from VW, they must be happy about Norway's figures in January. Of course, Norway at the vanguard of EV adoption. So if you're doing well there, you should be doing well in many places. And January was really good for the VW group, with three electric cars from them making it into the top five registration statistics. The Audi Q4 e-tron, that's one of the ones built in Zwickau, was the best-selling car in Norway in January, followed by the Skoda Enyaq IV and the VW ID4, also in the top five as well. Very, very cool, and congratulations to the VW team. Now, Tesla opening up their supercharging network. I mentioned this yesterday, but it was early doors, and I recorded and written the show yesterday. As the day went on, I saw finally the official announcement from Tesla. Then the video came out from Bjørn Nyland and people on social media talking about it as well. Yes, they've left the same page online on their website, which they had, where Tesla say, "We are starting with a select number of sites to review the experience, monitor congestion, and assess feedback before expanding. Future sites will only be opened to non-Tesla vehicles if there is available capacity," they say. "Certain supercharger site layouts may not be suitable for some cars. Please don't obstruct other cars by parking over the lines if the cable cannot reach your car comfortably," says Tesla. What do you do? Well, you download the Tesla app, version 4.2.3 or higher, create a Tesla account, select charge your non-Tesla, find the supercharger site, and it should locate you because it'll ask for your access, for your location, a little blue dot on the map, you know how it works. It should put you where the supercharger is. If you haven't got a payment method, you add it in, you plug in your car first, then you select the stall you're at, normally A or B, sometimes A, B, C, D, and start charging. And stop charging on the app as well. One of the questions asked of Tesla, "Can I supercharge if I'm visiting the Netherlands, France, or Norway?" Tesla said the non-Tesla supercharger pilot is currently limited to EV drivers who live in the following countries: the Netherlands, France, Norway, Germany, and Belgium. But let me tell you what I did. I opened up my Tesla app, which I already had, and you know, had an account already, and it wasn't there. So I went into the top right, my profile picture, which is still an plain avatar, I haven't put my picture in, went to account and contact info, didn't even change my address. I changed the postcode just to a random postcode in France. It's like a 5-digit number. So I just put in 35620, it's a random postcode in France, and accepted it. Didn't change my phone number. I did connect my VPN, and I reopened the app, and there it is at the very top of the app, you know, above where all the details are in, like Tesla Shop and stuff, it says charge your non-Tesla. Access the largest global fast charging network. You click on it, and again, it opens up the map, and it puts a little blue circle where you are. So, of course, this is around Bournemouth and Poole, where I am, and then there is a search this region. But if I just scroll across to Paris and click on search this region, indeed, it does come up with the superchargers that are available there. So I'll click on the one that's in the southwest of Paris. And there is a 16 stall V3 supercharging unit there. It will list me the price of 56 cents per kilowatt hour and 38 euro cents per kilowatt hour. If you remember, membership is $12.99 a month, by the way, that's euros. Idle fees of a euro, and it says select stall. And so there's 10 free, 1A to 1D, 2A to 2D, etc., all the way up to 4D. So if I just say I'm at 1A, I can now hit get started and it will start the charge on the car. So even though it says it's only available to those people, if you really want to hack the system, at the minute, you can just change your address in your account and it looks like it's working. Now, I wouldn't recommend you drive across Europe based on my advice, turn up with no state of charge and then find it doesn't work, but I haven't tested it. Looks like it would work, which I found exciting because I can't exactly go and use it, but I got it working to that stage. If any of my French, Norwegian listeners, or I guess those are the two new areas, want to for me to charge their car for them, then let me know where you're going to be and what stall you're on, and I'll hit start charging. See if I can charge from my phone in a different country. But hey, you know, I'm sure that I can afford a few euros to have a play. Let me know. Right, now we will talk about the world's largest EV tests. And one of the drivers was Aron Jan from emobilitynorway.com, one of the sponsors of this podcast. So he's written a few words on what happened last week in Norway. You know, not one, not two, not five, but 31 electric vehicles went on a road trip to see how they performed versus their stated and promised WLTP range. So he was one of the drivers, and he says, as we can see from the eventual numbers, there was real variation in how much each car went under this particular journey versus WLTP. The best car, as in the closest to its promised range, was the BYD Tang, yes, which is in Norway, only 11% less range than its WLTP promise. The biggest deviation was the Skoda Enyaq iV80. The car has a WLTP range of 509 kilometres, but it did 347 in their test. That's 32% less range than promised. Now, one of the weird things about what happened was the two-wheel drive Skoda Enyaq actually went less far. It was beaten by its four-wheel drive sibling, the Enyaq iV80X, like by 50 kilometers. So something is weird there. The rear-wheel drive car should be more efficient. They're going to redo that test because something, well, they're going to redo it anyway. Jan was driving the Neo ES8. Neo actually gave them the WLTP numbers for a slightly different car because he had a 7-seater with 21-inch wheels, and the Neo was fifth on the list, a deviation of 13%, 12.9% from its WLTP promised range. So how did they do it? Well, all the cars started charging at 100% or started the journey at 100%. They weren't preheated, so again, that could have disadvantaged cars with a more advanced battery heating system that would have benefited from a preheated battery, but none of them were preheated. The starting point was Oslo, which is 7 meters above sea level. They drove 450 kilometers. The elevation was 1,060 meters. And, you know, it's Norway in January. It was blimmin' cold, but I don't know the exact temperature. So pop a link to that graph and table in the show notes if you'd like to see for yourself how those 31 cars did versus what they were promised to do. Now, £500 million of British taxpayer money is being used to guarantee the majority of a loan for Jaguar Land Rover to boost their EV plans. The total loan is £625 million provided to Jaguar Land Rover by 12 banks, the UK Export Finance. which is a department of the government, is guaranteeing 80% of the loans with taxpayer money, and that is so that they can develop electric cars, because JLR really have to catch up. So British government, they're getting behind, hopefully keeping some jobs here and maybe making new jobs. Well, Jaguar's new platform will be called the Panthera. I was wrong in my brain. The Panthera platform. It'll be the first cars coming out in 2025. The CEO, Thierry Bolloré, saying that the company would initially look externally for an EV platform to license to underpin their cars, and now doing a total 180, I guess, in an investors call yesterday on Monday, saying that JLR cars, including Jaguars, should have their own platform to combine design proportions and capabilities not offered by other car makers. And so that will be their own EV platform for Jaguar Land Rover, which is going to take a long time to develop, and I would say they are behind. The I-Pace is fabulous, made by Magna, of course, not, you know, Jaguar, but still designed by them and engineered by them. I've had an I-Pace at the end of last year, no, end of 2020. Fabulous car. It's just incredible. I just wish they'd follow it up with something else before the new platform arrives in 2025, and that's when I guess they can really start to ramp up. But hopefully a bit of battery technology catching up there as well, as the cars that they have in their portfolio, the big, heavy off-roaders, etc., SUV-style cars that aren't always an obvious fit with battery technology. But hey, plenty of cars do, so it's fine. Let's talk about the Skoda Enyaq Coupe. It's, well, you know what the Skoda Enyaq is? Yeah, they've chopped a bit of the roof line off and charge you a little bit more for the privilege of that. It's even available in an RS trim too. So now I'm interested, because I used to have an old Skoda Octavia RS. Goodness me, that was rapid. I think it was an Audi TT 1.8. It was like the Volkswagen Group's 1.8 turbo petrol engine that I had. It's like 10 years ago now, before I got into EVs. And that was a fabulously rapid Skoda. So this kind of interests me. Now, similar to what Audi's done with the e-tron Sportback, they've got a more sweeping roofline, if you like, a more dynamic aesthetic, is what they say. It goes on sale this month in February, and it arrives in June or July. After that, that's the RS version, by the way. The regular Coupe IV goes on sale in May, August deliveries for that. The RS version has 220 kilowatts of power, 0 to 62 miles an hour in 6.5 seconds, which is rapid. It'll push you back in your seat, but it's not going to compete with the fastest in that segment, but it'll hold its own against, you know, an ID5 GTX, a Ford Mustang Mach-E. And, you know, really, if you're going faster than 6 seconds, 0 to 60 on public roads, then you know, how much performance do you need, as long as you've got plenty of torque? And all EVs have their fair share of torque. So I can't wait to, I'd love to drive one as soon as possible before deciding what to do. But that would really, really suit us, that car. Anyway, I'm going to be having a play in the Tesla Model Y, right-hand drive. It comes very soon, and going to have it the first weekend that it's out. It's an incredible experience, and I'll tell you more on a future podcast, maybe tomorrow, about how that is happening. Yay! So excited. Now, coming up soon on the podcast, we will tell you why Tesla want to stop you abusing your seats. I'm serious. And how they're going to have to recall 54,000 vehicles. But I'm not sure it should be called a recall. Stick around, those stories, they're on the way. Now, a report coming out which says Samsung and Rivian's love-in is no longer the case. No longer K-I-S-S-I-N-G sitting in a tree. Because they were going to develop their own cells together, a joint venture, but that looks like it's been called off, according to this one report I found in Inside EVs. Samsung supplies the 2170 type cells, like you talk about with the Model 3, Model Y, Lucid Air, etc. And the ELEC website, ELEC, reporting that talks over the joint venture have now been dropped. But Samsung will still supply Rivian, by the way. Some sources saying, and again, not named sources, but sources saying that the transfer of the battery making technology was due to go to Rivian, the right to inspect their factories, no definite contract on the battery volume even. So no wonder Samsung said, you know what, we'll just be a supplier, no worries. Meanwhile, they were also having conversations with Stellantis, which they also announced today. Samsung and Stellantis have confirmed a new joint venture with an initial annual production of 23 gigawatt hours starting in 2025. Location in the US still not confirmed of that gigafactory. Now, a Tesla hacker who we've talked about loads of times, slash kind of researcher, Green the Only on Twitter, says that some new code was discovered when they were looking at how the latest app and software was compiled, which shows that if you muck around with your front seats too much, Tesla will put you on the naughty step and give you a timeout. They call it excessive use, and it results in the cars locking out the ability to adjust the seats. Green said, they are also introducing seat abuse metrics, complete with a disabling of seat moving for users with helpful messages like this: excessive use of seat track motor detected, and seat track motor unavailable due to excessive use, and wait 5 minutes to adjust seat track position again. Now look, one person in the comments is wondering if this is tied to their new seat vendor. They're using a new seat vendor, but also I think it's a German company that provide this new motor and the new track motors, the ones that go backwards and forwards. The lumbar stuff isn't affected. If those motors can overheat, and I guess Tesla would have all the data on that, by the way, you know, there any kind of warranty claims that would have been done, they all know that. And, you know, there's no real airflow underneath car seats. So I'm not surprised. And any of us that have got kids, like, what's the first thing they want to do? Move the seats around. So Tesla are updating their software to stop you moving the seats too much. Look, you get plenty of leeway in this, by the way. So you get 90 seconds of use in 5 minutes, and then it triggers the warning. You get 2 minutes of use in 5 minutes, and then it will disable the motor for 5 minutes, I would presume, to cool down. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it kind of made me smile. This one didn't make me smile so much. Tesla is going to recall 54,000 vehicles, according to the NHTSA, the agency. Tesla is recalling 53,822 vehicles with the company's full self-driving beta, because Tesla had enabled rolling stops, not something that we have particularly here. If you see a stop sign on UK roads, you have to stop. I gather rolling stops is a thing in some places in the US, state by state, really, not to come to a complete stop at intersections. Some states enforce it, some don't. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said the recall covers all the cars that had full self-driving beta, and the feature, which violated state laws that require vehicles to come to a complete stop and require drivers to then opt in to what is called assertive mode, drew some attention on social media end of last year when it was enabled. I think that pretty much got the attention of the NHTSA staff straight away. They met with Tesla on January the 10th and then January the 19th to discuss it. On January the 20th, Tesla agreed to a recall. But I don't know, like, can you call it a recall? It's just a software update. It's an over-the-air update. I guess the difference there is that if the government agency calls it a recall, then you have to write to everybody, and you have to it has to be an official notification, and people have to know they have something on their car that needs to be changed. But it's an over-the-air update. So, I don't know. It's not like the wheels are going to fall off. And I know Tesla fans get, you know, twitchy when I say that, because that's been an issue as well. But it's not like, you know, it's not like wompy wheels, is it? It's just an over-the-air update. It shouldn't really be called a recall, in my opinion. But anyway, that's what it is. So that'll just be updated in your car and it'll disappear. But also interesting, hey, at the beginning of that story, I told you that 53,822 cars were caught up in this. Do you remember on the earnings call last week, whenever that was, that they said almost 60,000 vehicles have got it? Well, 53,822. At what point do you think that's nearly 60,000? Is it like late 50s, you would call it? Or do you think 53,000 vehicles you can get away with in a shareholder letter, by the way, saying almost 60,000? Maybe a bit fast and loose with some definitions there. It made me smile. If I've got that wrong, by the way, let me know. Now, some Tesla fans are upset with the White House. They think they've been snubbed by President Biden. They're making their feelings known now. 33,000 people have signed a petition on change.org asking Biden to acknowledge the EV leadership as he touts EVs as a way to fight climate change. The petitioners have accused the president of ignoring Tesla, which is a non-union company, in favor of traditional Detroit automakers. Biden has visited Ford and GM, met with their chief executives and praised them very vocally and a lot, and saying that GM were leading the way with electrification, which is, you know, blatantly nonsense. Why would Tesla fans be upset about this? Guys, chill out. You guys are leading the way. Don't be so needy. It's okay. Don't worry. Like, the thing about Tesla is they don't give a damn. They don't play by the same rules as everybody else. They're not part of the same industry organizations. They are part of some. At Charon and stuff, they're part of those. But they're not part of some of the industry bodies and organizations that the other car makers are. They play by their own rules. And that's why so many people love them. So when the fans start bleating that they want to be shown some love by the president, just get over it. Like, do your own thing. Don't be just kind of needy, guys. Come on, move on, get over it. It's all right. You don't need the president to say well done. Tesla is leading the way. And with the plans they've got between now and middle of the decade, very few people are going to catch them in the US. GM won't, Ford won't. VW might, if you look at what VW's plans are, possibly overtake them. But I don't know. Like, Biden is, and also Elon Musk has been so aggressive and abusive towards President Biden on Twitter after saying he doesn't get involved in politics and after visiting the White House under the Trump administration to be part of a special committee for Trump. I don't know. I think his politics are pretty clear there. Probably a bit different to mine, I would imagine. But what does it matter? Who cares? Just move on. Right, NIO are rolling out their ET5 validation prototype. The Chinese maker NIO showing off images of their production line verification prototypes of the new ET5 following up the ET7, their second sedan. They want to be in 25 countries and regions by the middle of the decade in 2025. Next, they'll sell EVs in the Netherlands, Sweden and Denmark following Norway. So watch out for the Chinese invasion. And closer to home, Renault with their more value Dacia brand. Their EV, the Spring, sales have been going very well. Only started in March last year, and when the Spring went on sale, not in the UK, I wish they'd bring it here, 27,876 units sold, 46,000 are on order as well. Makes them already a very popular EV here in Europe. Now, Ford's Jim Farley saying that Pro Services will bring in $45 billion of revenue to the company. Selling vehicles is one thing, but selling subscriptions is another. They want to sell 150,000 electric transit vans annually from 2023, and as part of that, create charging depots to help customers manage their fleets and generate, like I say, $45 billion of revenue by the middle of the decade, with Ford Pro, which is all about helping the vehicles charge, helping their customers and utilities minimize energy costs when charging, with cloud-based routing to reduce drive time, and the ability for businesses to tailor things like maintenance and repairs, and even over-the-air updates, which, shouldn't they be free? Okay, I'll be charging for those. Now, let's talk about Koenigsegg. It's long been the home of incredible engineering, and they've just released details of their new electric motor. It's going to go inside the Gamera, which is a four-seater hypercar, but the electric motor is this tiny, tiny powerhouse that you could put in your pocket. Well, maybe not quite. It weighs 63 pounds only. It develops 335 horsepower and 443 pound-feet of torque in a tiny 63-pound electric motor. It was announced yesterday online. It has both radial and axial flux constructions to offer a balance between power and torque. That peak power is a 20-second power boost available, then it drops down a little bit, but that's okay because the Gamera has three of them and a 600 horsepower combustion motor. Look, I say it all the time, adding electric to anything makes it better, and so it's designed to bolster that lower speed range of the Gamera when you need it, and the brutal acceleration, and then once the electric's done its bit, then the combustion takes over to take it all the way to 248 miles an hour, I think it is, on that car, which is stupid. But that, I mean, that's where they start burning stuff at the top end. Otherwise, you're doing it all on electric power. Right, final story. Not really a story, but just a recommendation to watch something if you want to. That's Rivian and the R1T finally being tested and driven by the brilliant team at TFL, TFL Truck, the Fast Lane. And the guys from Fast Lane Truck YouTube channel decided to tow another truck on a trailer. Now, the R1T can normally tow 5,000 pounds if you put it on trailer mode. But this was like 8,000 pounds of another truck on a trailer they were testing. It's the standard test they do up a mountain with all of the trucks they test. So it was the route, it was the test they always do. The R1T even out-accelerated the follow vehicle, which was a Ram 1500 TRX. It was a support vehicle for the film crew. Despite towing an 8,000-pound load, when they floored it, the Rivian accelerated away. Isn't that insane? I won't spoil it, but you know what? Go and watch this video because it's so beautifully made as well. They make such incredible productions at that place. It just looks like a TV show. It's awesome. So well done to the team there. But also great story that they tell through the finally getting hold of the Rivian as well, which they had to wait a little bit for. Right, question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com returns next week. We're away this weekend doing some family stuff on Saturday, Sunday, so I won't have time to do question of the week and compile that, so that's back next week. Thank you so much to everyone who supports this podcast on Patreon, especially our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.